Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So with all our relationships, any relationship, anybody you know or think about or might know or will know in the future, it doesn't really matter. It's not exclusive, but particularly, of course, we will try to practice this with the actual interactions we get with others, because then we really get to test ourselves. Now, with anyone, including us right now, when we first meet people, we have an automatic discrimination that's going on. And that discrimination is coming from some things from this life, but maybe a lot from last life. And our karma is determining like, you don't care. Okay. Ignoring, it just didn't appear anywhere on my rectus, my radar scale of any interest in this moment until I get to know you. So that goes into sort of like stranger, friend, enemy, stranger. But those discriminations, although we don't even know we're making them, because they change. It's not like there is a category and you're in the like box. It's actually like a sliding box. You're in the like box for a bit, but then you might go to the not too sure box and you might whiz down to they really don't like you now. And that's your partner. So everybody is in that. You know, that we like them for a moment, and then you know, go away, we need some space, and then we don't like them, and then they shoot back up to the like, and it's going on, and we think it's their fault. So they may have done something to trigger those reactions, but our training in love is to help us not be so erratic, because with erratic emotional reactions, it is painful and exhausting, and it is also not very fair, because it's coming from inside. Now, when we can become really strong and balanced and train our mind, we will get very strong and balanced and grateful relationships, because people know when they're not behaving brilliantly, but they can't help it. You know, just like we don't even notice it because we're in that moment of bad behavior because we're stressed. And then we're not as kind or as accommodating or as patient as we could be. But we don't really notice it. And meanwhile, we have hurt people that, we know or care about. So everybody's doing that. Now, if we can be one of the people in others' lives, in everyone's life who we meet, that is loving, stable, dependable, not fickle, not like reacting, is going to love no matter what. That is such a good quality. Okay. It is also a recipe, if you like, for happiness, for our happiness and for the happiness of others. So one of our meditation masters, Shantideva, that we quote a lot, says all the happiness in this world arises from wishing others to be happy. Underneath it says, I'll just put this in brackets, I think some of you have heard this before, it's just for you to think about, I don't have time to explain, all the unhappiness in this world. Should I fill in the blanks? Arises from our own wishing ourselves only to be happy. Okay, so we, at the moment, with an uncontrolled, not training our mind, that is what we're doing perpetually. We're just focusing, I want to be happy, I want to be happy, I want to be happy. And that's not necessarily a delusion. But what it tends to do is it makes it very difficult for us to develop our potential, which is to view others and love them, whoever they are, however they behave. Because we need attention. And if we're focused in here, then we're going to get very defensive. We're going to just like others according to how they make us feel. And that's very erratic. Okay. So we want to be able to train our mind to not be erratic, because if we do that, we will be happy no matter what. So that's a good quality, to be happy no matter what. And it is a strengthening of love that we need to develop in our mind. So in the teaching, Geshe-la says that because wishing others to be happy, because love is the main cause of our own happiness, it's only wise to practice it, okay? Because it's a main cause of our happiness. So that means wanting others to be happy, that's love. But sometimes we don't want that. Due to the discriminations and the behaviors and the history and the judgments we make, okay? We don't want them to be happy. And we sort of maybe now, if you've been coming, most of you recognize you've been coming, so you think, well, I want you to be happy, but actually I don't. In this moment, no, I don't. I don't want you to be happy, but I know I should, but I don't. You know, some people are too difficult, aren't they? They're really tricky. And that comes with history, but it's not impossible. Okay? And while we hold on to that resentment or not even allowing our mind to wish them to be happy, actually we're holding on to mental pain ourselves. Okay? It's not increasing our ability to be happy. It's just a bad habit of mind, you know, because we've believed all the previous stories and, you know, what they've done and so forth, as if that is affecting us now. We're allowing it to. So this training, we have to have the courage, and that's our own, because it's a private decision to want to try and increase our capacity to want others to be happy, to really have that wish that their happiness, we want them to have. to connect in that way, there is a stream of thoughts that we can enjoy thinking about to see if it begins to help us have a open, loving, strong mind, you know. So that stream of thoughts is when we are meditating, and it will take us closer to it. And then the next meditation, hopefully independence upon that, really open your heart so impossible for you to hold back. But first we need to sort of open our hearts a little bit. And it doesn't take that much. It's not like we've got to take a can opener to our mind. We do have a loving mind. It's just often the thoughts are so chaotic, we're so busy with our own lives, that we don't allow ourselves to look out. And love is definitely an outward looking mind. Okay? Now in order to really achieve it, we want some connection and empathy. And due to previous interactions, what's happened, we tend to feel like we are protecting ourselves. No, I'm not empathizing with them. I don't like them. They're rude, they're this, that, the other, you know, we sort of close our mind down. So please allow your mind to grow. Don't be scared, because it's just a meditation. And love is the great protector, mind of love, but it needs to be strong, not fragile, and not coming from attachment. Attachment is the great inner destroyer and ruins relationships, okay? Because attachment wants you to make me happy. And that's actually, you know, not a stable place to be. So our friends and our family, we don't even know we're doing it, but attachment slipped in and it is expecting them to treat us, to behave in certain ways, to really just be, you know, if they can, as Buddha-like as possible. Because then I don't need to worry about them. They're getting on, they're being happy. I want you to be happy, but please don't be unhappy, because that causes me stress. Well, it doesn't. It causes attachment stress, okay? Because they're not functioning in a way attachment wants to function. Because if you're happy, then that makes me happy. But actually, it's the wish for others to be happy that we want to experience and say, that wish is very happy making in and of itself. So if you are never happy for the rest of this life, but I constantly wish you to be happy without attachment, going, right, okay, I've been wishing for too long, now just be happy, will you? Stop being miserable. Get your act together, be happy, because, you know, I've got to apply effort here. But if we do it in a gentle, consistent, without expectations way, the person who can't be happy for whatever the difficulties they're having, that actually person is helping us to make our love deeper. We just need skill in developing it. So, how do we do it? Well, if we understand, so the basis for being able to really wish happiness to others is recognizing that what we are wanting them to have is real, like, space and freedom and peace within their minds. We don't want their minds to be disturbed in any way. Because if someone's mind is disturbed, they cannot be happy. Even if you've just taken them for a wonderful meal, you know, you've given them something fantastic, if their mind is disturbed, it cannot make them happy. So we need, through, and hopefully your experience to date with your own practice, that when your mind is peaceful, gradually you can experience a real contentment, real peace, really a qualified happiness. So what we are wishing for others is for them to actually have minds that are free from disturbance. You know, so I don't know who you're meeting tomorrow, your work colleagues, your family. Just imagine they have absolutely no mental disturbance. So they'll actually be completely different. Because for the most part, people are just surviving mental disturbance. They're functioning mentally disturbed. You know, they're just about balancing. It's okay, but I'm stressed and I've got this and I've got to do that and I'm worrying about this. All this stuff going on. It's amazing people behave as well as they do, actually. But what we are wishing for them, if we're trying to develop our love, and love wants others to be happy, we have an understanding that happiness arises due to a mind free from deluded states. So we're wanting them to have real qualified, like, peace of mind, so they can feel happy no matter what in their life. They can actually feel happy in the life they're in. If their minds are peaceful, they can do that. So that's what we're wishing. Now, with that understanding, whether your meditation has led you to experience that more, what you also will know, that it's not that common, that you wake up every day and your mind isn't utterly peaceful. You want to try and make it peaceful with your meditation, but it's not utterly peaceful and you've just been sleeping. And then you wake up and it's like grasping immediately, what day is it? What have I got to do? What have I got to deal with? What was I worrying about? And immediately, you want your problems to go and you want to be happy. So that's us. Of course, it is the same with every single person you know, every person you see. They don't want to be disturbed mentally. Physically, they don't want to be disturbed. They want mental freedom, peace of mind. And they want to be happy and enjoy their lives. But it is tricky, isn't it? It's tricky to do that, to achieve that, particularly if they've got no understanding of their mind. And so generally, they're probably chasing after things that are not going to be causes of happiness and trying to fix things that they can probably never fix, and thinking, I'll be happy when? When I fix that, I'll be happy then. I'll be happy then. I'll be... Ugh. Always putting off their happiness for the future, getting really angry and destroying their relationships and their happy mind. So we see that happening just because we know it happens within our own mind. Our understanding of ourself helps us increase the quality or the wisdom of the way we are relating to others. I want you actually to have a mind completely free from mental disturbance so you can really be happy. know. So that's the first thing we're wanting. You're just like me. I'm trying to control my mind and it's tricky. But what I want you is, I really want you to be free from any mental disturbance. We wish ourselves to be happy every day and to be free from problems. The next line of reasoning is, why do I just want it for myself when I'm wanting exactly the same thing for others? It's a funny thing, because our self-interest, our self-concern, what about me, the me mind, self-cherishing mind, is functioning all the time. It doesn't see that there is anything mistaken by only wishing for our own happiness and not wishing for others' happiness. It doesn't see, in fact, when we start talking about it, it seems a bit threatening. What do you mean? I can't. Self-cherishing, for example, is a threatening word for us who self-cherish a lot. But what we're trying to do in this meditation is love others. So we're trying to connect, empathize with what's already happening. I want to be happy. They want to be happy. But what I understand is, in order to be really happy, my mind needs to be really relatively free from mental disturbance. Then I can have a chance at being happy in the life I have, in the people I'm with whatever I'm doing. But if my mind is not peaceful, I can't be happy. So I want to be happy, and we're trying to create that. But while we're wanting to be happy, because that's not actually a delusion, just wanting to be happy, why don't we include wanting others to be happy? Because we're wanting exactly the same thing. So it's like a wish. It's like to train ourselves. I want to be happy. May myself and others be happy. To try and train ourselves to think that is actually quite advanced. But it also is on the basis of utter wisdom. I can wish it for others when I'm wishing it for myself. Just need to remember to do that. You know, I want to see, wake up tomorrow morning, your homework is definitely, yeah, may myself and others be happy. I hope myself and others have a good day. I hope their problems aren't too much, mine and others. And so what is called is equalizing what we're already wishing for ourselves, for others. Because when we wish it just for ourselves, it is not going to work, because our mind tends to get disturbed by thinking about ourselves only. It's just that we've done this habitually. Doesn't really work, because it's the disturbing factor, because as soon as we don't get what we want, we're disturbed. And what we wanted was to be peaceful and happy, but I've not got what I want and now I'm disturbed. But what you want is to be happy. So if we can balance it with thinking, actually, that doesn't make any sense. If I want the same thing, if I include others because we want the same thing, we're all going in the same direction. And I'm only one, others are countless. So instead of feeling isolated and discriminating, you know, just me, we begin to put ourselves in like the mix of humans, all actually humanity, living, all living beings, and not limit ourselves thinking I can only think about me and just a few people. Because our capacity is, we can include others, we just need to train in it, because it doesn't happen naturally. But imagine that we're all on a big boat. We're all going in the same direction, but we all have the same wish to be happy. And and I'm sure you've had this experience when you've been in a community or like a big family that are actually harmonious and we're all sharing and all wanting each other to be happy. It works when everyone is wanting the same thing. And we can be at the epicenter of that and begin it to happen.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.